Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
Well, it is such a great pleasure once more on Intimate Moments, Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. On this month, March, we are so grateful, eternally grateful to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because he brought the servant of the Lord, Remuruti Milatu. He is the one who is navigating and trying to, you know, teach us what we should know. So let me just welcome the servant of the Lord. Good evening to you, servant of the Lord. Welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Thompson and the listeners at home.
It is such a great pleasure indeed. You know, when we are together, it's brotherly.
Yes, brotherly.
Brotherly. Yes. You know, let brotherly continue.
Yes.
Your love continue.
That's it.
And particularly when we are sharing kingdom issues.
Mm.
Welcome in the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much. Indeed, I'm welcomed.
Now, what would you like to share with the family, servant of the Lord, what has the Lord has laid into your spirit this evening?
Mr. Thompson, the Lord has laid the message from the life of the prodigal son. This message is a message that demonstrates the love of God to all humanity. It is a demonstration of the love of God to every single person, because many people see Jesus Christ loving us as, you know, a community, as a society, as a nation, and so forth. However, Jesus Christ doesn't only love us as a nation or a community, but he loves us individually. That's one thing people need to understand, Mr. Thompson. Listeners at home, God doesn't operate only with us as a nation or as a community or only as a church, but he relates to individuals. Remember, even David, Psalm 23, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So, Mr. Thompson, what now David did, he personalized his relationship with God. And that's what the people out there need to understand, that it's a personal thing. So through the life of a prodigal son, we will zoom at how God loves us individually. Now, when you read Luke chapter 15, that's where the story is. Luke chapter 15 from verse 11, we see the Bible says that there was a man who had two sons. It's clear that he had them, two sons. In other words, he brought them to this world. Likewise, God has created us and brought us to this world. And you can also conclude that he loved these sons equally, that there was no favoritism, there was no bias, there was no attitude that says, "Oh, I love this one over this one." But he loved them equally. Likewise, God loves every human being he has created, and he loves us individually or personally. It is a love that is meant for you. And now we see now a change where the young man makes a decision. When you look at verse 12, he says that the younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So what we see there, we see the young man sees, you know, entitlement. He feels so entitled to the father's properties, to the father's things that he has. So that's the problem that he had. You see, Mr. Thompson, once we feel so entitled with the things of God, that's when we are losing it.
I can imagine.
Okay? So there is no, there shouldn't be entitlement. They shouldn't feel, you shouldn't be like, God is our bus boy. We command him, we dictate him, we can do whatever we want to do. You get what I'm saying, Mr. Thompson? We shouldn't feel entitled, because of that kind of feeling, it's a sign of arrogance before the Lord. So always we must be humble at all times.
I love that. We must be humble, Pastor Milatu, at all times. The Bible says, you know, humble yourself before the Lord.
Yes.
So that he may lift you up.
That's powerful.
In due season. I love that concept. Amen. That sentiment.
Yes.
We must be humble. Continue.
So Mr. Thompson, the son said these words.
Yeah.
"Give me my share of the estate."
Sure.
Give me my share. It's a command. Who are you to command the Father?
So
when we come before the Lord, we do not come with an attitude to command. Remember even the thief at the cross.
Yeah.
If you are the Messiah, save us. Who are you to demand God, to command God? You get what I'm saying?
Mm.
So when we come before the Lord, we should understand that and the moment we change our perception or the understanding of who God is, and we begin to belittle his sovereignty, we must know that we are missing the mark. So God wants people to be humble. And now look what happened here. After he had commanded the Father to give him the estate, what did the Father do? He gave him.
Definitely.
He gave him.
Definitely.
You see, God is in control of nature. God has control over animals. God has control over everything. But if there's one thing God doesn't control, it is your free will.
Now, Pastor Milato is my guest on Intimate Moments, Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. I love the free will part of it, man of God. Hey!
I love it that you love it.
Yeah.
No. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15.
Yeah.
This is what now Moses said. Moses says, Joshua told them that there are two ways before you.
Mm.
A life of death and a way of death and the way of life.
I hear you.
Now choose for yourself.
In other words, you have to choose while you're still alive.
You choose.
Now.
You decide now.
Uh-huh.
So even you listeners at home, when you are listening to me right now, you need to choose. Choose to follow the Lord or choose to worship Baal. It was about choosing at the end of the day. Jesus Christ still said the same thing in Matthew chapter 7.
Mm.
He said that there are two roads. There's a narrow one and a broader one. But you choose. You decide. So it is the attitude of God towards humanity. He gives us free will. Otherwise, if he chooses for us, then we cannot love him back. Because of love shouldn't be dictated or shouldn't, it's not a mechanical way of approach.
Right.
It should be from a free will and a willing heart.
Look at the prodigal son.
After
the money was finished.
Hmm.
What actually happened to him when he was there?
Yay! Mr. Thompson, you're making me to run ahead of myself. But anyway, it's fine because we have to touch that aspect as well.
Nice.
We will touch it. However, there's something very powerful that we need to look at when Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, when he said this word, listen to what he says, if any man wants to follow me, let him pick up the cross and follow me daily. Daily. If any man wants to. So in other words, you must want to follow him. You must desire to follow him. And it shouldn't be there. You must make it practical. Stand up and follow the Lord. Oh, listeners at home, I'm encouraging you right now. It's time for you to get up and begin to follow the Lord. It's time for you to stand up where you are. Enough is enough. You've been living in misery for so long. You've been living in shame for so long. It's time for you to stand up and follow the Lord. Do not be like a prodigal son who stood up to leave the Lord. But when you stand up to follow the Lord.
Ah, Pastor Milato is my guest. Now, do you think that the prodigal son, he went back home because he was stranded out there? Do you think so?
Yes, the misery he went through contributed to him going back to the Father.
Ne?
But however, what he longed for, it is not the possessions of the Father, but is the love of the Father.
I love that, because when you talk about the love of the Father, the Bible says we are not the first one who first loved God.
Mm.
He is the one who first loved us.
And
moreover, the Bible says, behold what manner of love that the Father has bestowed, Pastor Milan.
That's it.
Unto us, that we should be called the children of God. So he was longing for love.
Go ahead. Remember in verse 13, it says that he took all that he had.
Oh, yes.
And left the Father.
Yes.
He took all. So he was deceived by having plenty.
I can imagine.
Oh! not be deceived by plenty. Do not be deceived by tangible things, because of those things can make you leave the Father.
Yes.
When you possess them, you should remain content. But if contentment leaves your heart and makes you feel that you can separate from the Father and live the way you want, oh, you are missing the mark. So you have to understand that though you have plenty, you still have to acknowledge your Father as your God.
You have to acknowledge your Father as your God.
That's
Intimate
it.
Moments on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. We are looking at the life of the prodigal son. We continue with the conversation. Pastor Milato is my guest. I love the servant of the Lord. I love the teachings of the Bible. The prodigal son.
Yes.
You know, remembering the love at home. The prodigal son, remembering the warmth at home. Now, man of God, you spoke about contentment. Let's talk.
Contentment. Oh, my goodness. Now, contentment does not mean plenty. Content, you see, you can have a little and still be content. You can have abundant and still be content. So whether you have, Apostle said that, he said that, I know what it means to have plenty and I know what it means to be in lack, but I have learned a secret of being content, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So contentment is a secret that you have to acknowledge on the inside of you, that apart from God I have nothing, and apart from God, even though I have a lot, still I am nothing. So contentment means that now you have acknowledged that God is all you need. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. It's a sign of contentment.
Man of God is here in the studio, my family, and Intimate Moments, the name of the program. Now look at the prodigal son when he comes back. The animosity, the resentment from the brother who was left at home.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
The resentment is ish. That's it, man of God. Because of, you see, the first rejection that he experienced is a rejection from the family. Exactly. Jesus Christ was showing the Pharisees that's your tendencies.
Yes.
Rejecting the ones that I am saving. I mean, like, that's the reason why the Son of Man has come.
Uh-huh.
The Son of Man, he came to seek and save those who are lost. So when I'm doing it, why? They even said that he's a friend of sinners. Remember, when he went to Zacchaeus' prayer, but he eats with sinners, he's a friend of sinners. They did not understand that he had to identify with them in order to justify them.
Remind the family, Pastor Milato,
yes,
where you have read earlier on, you know,
yes,
in our first conversation when we started.
Yeah, when we started, we looked at Luke chapter 15 from verse 11, that these two sons were loved by the Father, were brought by the Father. None of them experienced more love than the other. And we pointed out verse 2 that the son, the younger one, felt a sense of entitlement. And we showed that how wrong it is for you to feel entitled. It's a sign of arrogance. And we pointed out two things, the free will part. We read Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 15 and Matthew chapter 7 that shows that we make decisions. God doesn't impose himself on us.
Fast forward.
Yes.
Teach us. Because I spoke about the brother not wanting his brother, you know, to come back home. You know, he was saying to Papa, this man squandered all the money.
Yo.
Eh? Why should you welcome him with open arms like that?
Yo, and that's an accusation, actually. Where was he all along? Did he see the brother?
No.
So it's an accusation. Why? You see, when sinners come into the house of God, do not kick that person out. The Father wants that person.
I hear you.
Exactly.
I hear you.
So when they come to church, let them... You need to be in a church where somebody smells alcohol. When they smell beer in their mouth, that person is the relevant person to be at church so that he can hear the message of the cross and be converted.
Moro, if you are looking at that text, ne?
Yes.
Utamarana Jesu speaks very well. Come unto me, all ye that labor.
Glory to God.
And a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, I want to allow you to kiss first. Utuele some of the things that you did mention, by the way. You come as you are. Here is the prodigal son. The father was happy. Would you say that when one sinner repents,
yes,
there is joy in heaven?
There is joy.
Talk to me.
There is so much
Talk
joy.
Talk to me.
Actually, we will get to that point.
Sure.
Or actually, let me just touch it a little bit.
Sure.
You see, the prodigal son, when he took his possessions, the Bible says in verse 13 that he went to a distant country.
Right.
The devil isolated him so that he can rip him apart. So it doesn't matter the distance or the further you went from the father.
Yeah.
When you come back, he will embrace you. And he will embrace you with joy. He went to a distant country, but when he came, the father did not look at the distance. The father looked at the depth of his love for his son. So God looks at his love. You see, Mr. Thompson?
Yes.
He looks. So God looks at his love. You see, you listeners at home, it might be that you feel so far from the Lord that there's a huge gap between you and the Lord. But I'm telling you, when you return to him, God will not look at the distance. Will say, here is my love. And he will embrace you and he will accept you because he loves you more than the depth of your sin.
Intimate moments on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. We love the conversation as well. You see how I loved you. I loved you with everlasting love.
That's it.
Should we acknowledge that love? Inferiority complex would never settle in our hearts.
Sure.
Low self-esteem.
Sure.
Because we are loved as we are.
Yes. We are.
In Talk we to are me, Murugu Mila.
We are loved, men of God. Remember, he separated from the Father.
Sure.
From the Father, what happened? There was a severe famine.
Oh, okay.
The devil showed him the benefits, the life, but he didn't show him the severe famine. You see, he didn't show him that he will want to be hired.
Yeah.
You know, verse 15. He didn't show him that the one who hired him will be sending him to the pigs.
I can just imagine.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Verse 16. He saw even the pig's food as delicacy. He desired, he longed to eat that kind of food, the food of pigs. So it was bad, okay? It was very terrible. But look what's happening. When he comes back to the father, oh my goodness, his situation is turning around. He embraces the love of the father.
Now, there is no better place like home.
There's no better place like home.
Nah?
True.
There is no better place like home.
Very true. Very true. You in your spirit.
Yeah.
You are homesick. Homesick. I am telling you. There's a song in Soto that says Ha Hayek Hayesu.
I remember that one.
It doesn't say
I remember that one.
Hayesu, meaning your where you stay is where your home is. No. He says Ha Hay, where Christ lives.
Yeah.
That there is my home. So your spirit longs to be home, brethren. Where you are, if you are separated from the Father, I'm telling you, you just don't want to accept, or you just keep on denying it. Deep down, your spirit tells you, you need the Father. If you are separated from the Lord and you feel deep in your heart that there is a void, it's a sign that you must return home where love is. You will move from shame. You will move from having appetite to eat the food of pigs to having appetite to have a relationship with the Father.
I suppose we should commend the Father as well, Pastor Milato. Instead of rejecting him after the money was finished, that shows clearly how God loves humanity.
True. Absolutely.
Because look, they slaughtered something.
Yo.
They put a ring. That shows a sign of welcoming him back. Yeah.
Exactly. So that was the demonstration of the love of the Father.
Yeah.
You see, here's the beautiful thing about
this
part
from verse
11 until verse 16.
Yeah.
It shows the decision of the prodigal son. It shows the consequences of the prodigal son. Okay? There it showed also happen the hatred of the devil towards the prodigal son. Because after all these things, he experienced pain, he experienced shame, he experienced misery and everything. Okay? But when he returned to the father embraced him. Jesus Christ summarized it in John chapter 10, verse 10, where he said that the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the plan of the enemy. He comes to kill, he comes to steal, he comes to destroy. And that's what we saw in the life of the prodigal son. But when he returned to the father, what happened? The father embraced him. And Jesus Christ says after that verse, the same verse, he says that, but I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance.
Pastor Milato is my guest. Intimate Moments on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And quite honestly, I love the explanation of the Bible. The Lord Jesus came that we should have life, life in abundance. Look at the prodigal son. You know, when he comes back. Now, when you can come back to the Lord, it's never too late. Well, we are so privileged, I must say, on Intimate Moments to have the servant of the Lord who teaches the Bible. No wonder Paul says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman which needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Pastor Milato is my guest. My brother.
Glory to God.
Lovely.
Hallelujah.
You're so optimistic. I love your optimism, man.
Amen.
In the studio, you smile as well.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to the Most High God.
Now, you read earlier on John 10. Let me read for the family. John 10. 10. The Bible says, my family, the thief comes, rather does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy.
Yes.
The prodigal son, he is back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now that verse is very powerful because we see that demonstrated in the story of the prodigal son. So even when the prodigal son left and he returned, the father still loved him. And when he returned, the father embraced him and said, you know what, even though you were lost, but I'm glad now that you have come back and you are found. So the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. Number one, he kills because there is life. He steals because there's something valuable. He destroys because there's something that the Father has built inside of each and every individual. And when Jesus Christ comes, regardless of what the devil has stolen, regardless of what the devil has killed, regardless of what the devil has destroyed, God is able to restore it by the power of his grace. So he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask of or think of, according to the power that is work, that is at work within us. So that's the power of the Lord, and he's able to do that. So now I want to show you just few things that happened in the life of the prodigal son. When we start now from verse 17, and it reads that when he came back to his senses, oh my goodness, nobody preached to the prodigal son. Mr. Thompson, nobody went and told him, hey, come back home, man. Nobody. But then within himself, you see, where you are at home, within yourself, deep down, you feel the conviction that you ought to return back to your father. You used to pray, you used to go to church, you read your Bible, but now you do them no more. And the father is saying, go back to your first love. Return to the first love. Return to the father so that he may embrace you. Come back to your senses.
And when you come back to your senses, I suppose you have to do the things that you have been doing. That is the whole intentions of actually coming back to the Lord.
That's it.
You understand?
Absolutely.
Now, let's look at the celebration. You know, if someone gets married, there will be slaughtering a cow, buying meat and stuff like that. Ola killed Papa killed, you know, something very nice.
It means a lot. You see, when God accepts you, he doesn't accept you to shame you. He doesn't accept you to remind you of your sins.
Lovely, lovely.
But he accepts you to rejoice with you.
I love the rejoicing part of it.
Hence why when a sinner repents, there is joy in heaven.
Ah.
So this is a practical example of what happens in heaven when a sinner comes. And it should not be only in heaven. Remember when we pray, we say, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Oh,
if heaven rejoices, we ought to rejoice for sinners as
nice.
Well. If heaven accepts sinners, we ought to accept sinners as well. If heaven embraces the ungodly when they come, surely the church must acknowledge the ungodly when they come. So the sinners should not be afraid to return to church, actually. They should be glad at the thought of returning back to church. Because of that, they know that they will be taught Christ, they will experience Christ, they will be reminded of the love of Christ, and they will be so cleaved to this love.
There is nothing so interesting, Pastor Milatu, like to be told God loves you.
Yo.
You find yourself in a state whereby perhaps you are no longer accepting yourself.
Mm.
And you get into the church, like you say.
Yes.
And the man of God, the woman of God, stand up there and say, God loves you.
Yo.
You feel so good and say, is there anybody who loves me?
Yo.
I thought there is no one. Everything good was done to him.
Mm.
The Bible says we are in partnership with him.
Yes.
And being confident, Pastor Milatu, that what he has started in us, he will be able to do it or fulfill it. That shows clearly to us as human beings. Mudimu has a plan with
a plan.
Our lives.
He has a plan.
Talk to me about
not to shame you.
Fantastic.
His plan
Fantastic.
Is not to harm you.
Yes.
But to give you life and life in abundance.
Nice.
Okay?
Nice.
Remember the prodigal son when he was far away from the father.
Yeah.
He said this word.
Yeah.
That I'm here. I love the father. And I'm here now looking at the food. And of the pigs, and I'm starving to death when the servants of my father are having plenty up there.
Sure.
Though I am starving to death, I have to acknowledge that it is all because of the choices that I've made.
Now, the issue of choices is very key.
Very key.
Basically, daily, Pastor Milato, in the family, we are presented with so many choices.
Yes.
Daily.
Daily.
The food you eat, the dress that you want to put on, the church that you want to fellowship into.
True.
You understand?
Absolutely.
So choices are there on a daily basis. I love it when you touch it very nicely, man of God.
Exactly, man of God.
Yeah.
I had a Sotho friend, his name is Donald Khadebe.
Right.
You know, he's still my friend, of course.
All right.
But he used to say it in Sotho. He says that nkaqeto.
Oh, nkaqeto.
Nkaqeto. There's no such thing. Mr. Thompson, there's
my brother.
A myth of saying that I had no choice. No. Nobody can say I didn't have a choice. I had to do it.
Yeah.
No. We all have choices. If you say I didn't have a choice to go to church, you had a choice to go or not to go. I had to do it, man. Hey, I didn't have a choice. No, you had a choice. Okay, so everybody has that ability to make decisions. The prodigal son realized that he was starving, and the only solution was to return to the father. Everyone far from the father is in starvation. Everyone who's separated from God is in starvation. Everybody who's separated, that's why Jesus Christ said, when you are separated from him, you are thirsty. John chapter 7, he said, any one of you who is thirsty, let him come and drink. Okay? We drink from the Lord and we will be satisfied in him, because only satisfaction that will quench our thirst, that will quench our starvation and hunger, it is only in Jesus Christ. So the prodigal son had to return. And also when as he was about to return, he said that I will stand up and go to the Father. That's a personal decision. You need to make a personal decision to stand up and go to the Father. And he did not say that I'm going to my friend. He did not say that I'm going to a pastor. But he said, I am going to the Father. So whenever you're getting up from that table and you return, you must ask yourself, who do you return to? Do you return to a pastor or do you return to the Father? He said that I'm returning to the Father. And he will say to the Father that I have sinned sinned against you and against heaven. So you need to confess not only to the man of God. A man of God, after you confess to the man of God, I'm telling you, it's not enough. So you have to confess unto the Lord. And once you have done that, he will embrace you as his own.
And moreover, Pastor Milato and the family, you look at Psalm 103, verses number 12 and 13, somewhere there. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has Jehovah God removed our transgressions away from us.
Yes, absolutely.
That is the God that we serve.
Absolutely, Mr. Thompson.
Yeah.
He has removed them. Okay. You see, in the Old Testament,
right,
the atonement, this is how it operated. Even the word atonement, it means to cover.
Okay. All right.
So the blood of the lambs and the goats and the bulls was used to cover sin. It operated more like a tipex. You see, while I was still at school, now I don't think people are still using the tipex.
All right.
If they're still using it, okay, glory to God. But now, yeah, the tipex, it doesn't remove your mistakes. It
All right.
covers your mistakes.
It's hard more. I'm glad the servant of the Lord is here. What is it that you are learning from the story of the prodigal son? This is Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, Intimate Moments. We continue with the conversation. It's a fantastic evening. The Lord is on our side. The Bible says, you know, he who has begun a good work in you, my family, will fulfill it until the day of Jesus Christ. Our final segment here, we would like to just learn some of the things about the word, about the prodigal son. Muruti.
Yes, man of God.
Thank you so much.
Glory to the Most High King. So, man of God, this story is very powerful, okay? If people understand this story, I'm telling you, they will be convinced that the Father loves them. So whenever they have done anything wrong, they will know that there is enough blood to cleanse me. Not that they will take advantage of the blood, no. But then they will embrace the grace that will teach them to say no to sin. So the prodigal son, when he received all these things, and I mean, when he received these things and he left the father, and you know, consequences came upon him, he returned to the father. The beautiful thing starts now in verse 20, where verse 20 says, is that a long way off his father saw him. Oh, that's where a miraculous turn happens, man of God. That you see, the prodigal son did not see the father first, but the father saw the prodigal first. He saw him from afar. In other words, the father, he loved you before you loved him. He loved us before we could even develop a love for him within ourselves. Though we were miserable, miserable at that particular moment, when the father sees us, he doesn't look at our misery. He looks at us beyond our misery. He sees his image that he wants to restore.
I love that. Look at the predicament that came upon Adam and Eve. You know, and they thought, we are hiding from the Lord. But because God is so great, graceful,
that's it.
Even Liru Nabayetsa Dibi.
Oh, hallelujah.
Eh?
That's powerful.
We could not qualify to be where we are.
Exactly.
Huh?
The only thing that qualified us,
yeah,
it is his grace.
I love the issue of grace, the unmerited favor of the Lord unto us. Here is the prodigal son. What are some of the lessons that we can pick up from where you read before?
Exactly. So, another thing that I want to point out is that the father was filled with compassion. When he saw him, he was filled with compassion. So it is a revelation of the attitude of the father in the life of a son. So it reveals the love of the father. So we need to understand that when you come before the Lord, he will not look at you by the eyes of man, the eyes of condemnation, the eyes of saying you are guilty, the eyes of, that's why the Bible says that he remembers our sins no more. So when we come to him, he reminds us of our sins no more. So the Bible says that he ran to his son. Hey, man of God, he ran to the son. Those days it was a taboo for the father to just run. The moment when the man runs, people pay attention to that man. What happened? Could it be that the house is burning? Could it be that something bad has happened? Because of the father doesn't just run, okay? Because of, remember, they would wear long dresses. So when he runs, he had to pick it up from his ankles so that he doesn't trip. So for a man to go through that moment of picking up his garments and run, it is a sign of love that I don't mind being embarrassed as long as I am running to save my son. And that's what Jesus did for us, men of God.
Now, we are summarizing with the servant of the Lord, yes, some of the things that we are learning, or we learned basically from the story of the prodigal son. Pastor Milato is my guest. We love the conversation with him. When you look at the book of Isaiah, Pastor Milato, verse 43:18, it says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I, the Lord, will do a new thing."
Yes. Powerful verse.
Now, what does it mean to us?
Yes. That verse actually is a prophetic a text that shows the agenda of God.
Okay? Nice, nice,
It is what God will do through the Messiah.
Ah.
Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Now, that's where it began. It says, "When the time had fully come for God to make all things new, when the time had fully come, God sent his one and only son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he can redeem." That's when new things began. So when it says forget the former things and look at the future things, it doesn't talk about your blessings, your cars, it talks about you forgetting the old covenant, you forgetting the old things, you forgetting your previous life that does not glorify the Lord, and you embrace the new work of Christ, the work of salvation, where he's making all men new creations in Christ Jesus. When the prodigal son came, what happened? The father, the Bible says that he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. When you come to the father, he embraces you by his arms, okay? He embraces you and then he kisses you. That's a sign of a new covenant. You see, where God will even kiss you, even when you smell like pigs, even when you still smell alcohol. And how did the father kiss us? He kissed us by sending us the cross. So the his lips kissing mankind.
I love that. Pastor Milato is my guest. I love that, Muruti, because I remember last week we spoke broadly about the cross. And your messages many a times are centered around the cross.
That's the message.
And I must say that it is very, very uplifting. You know, the word of the Lord says, Jesus Christ is the good shepherd.
Yes, he's a good shepherd.
When we come to him, he shepherds us.
Mm.
Now, when everything is said and done, we can rely on his word.
Definitely.
That tells us that we are loved.
Mm.
Now, Mrute, yes, you look at the scripture in the book of Jeremiah 29:11, closely related to what we're talking about.
Exactly.
It says, "For I know the thoughts when the prodigal son,
yes,
that I have for you, declares the Lord. Thoughts of peace," Pastor Milato.
Exactly.
"And not of evil, to give you the expected end."
Actually, when God said those words, they were in exile.
Oh, I remember that.
They were in exile.
Exactly.
And he says that I have plans for you. The plan is redemption.
Oh, I see.
The plan is not a new car. The plan is not a house. Is not a new or whatever. Even marriage itself.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. But the plan that God was talking about is redemption. It's relationship with him. So that's when now the prodigal son, when he returned, the father gave him the best robe.
I can imagine.
Do you know the best robe? What does it signify?
I don't know.
Royalty. Welcome back to the family. You are now royalty. That's the plan of God, that he wants to restore us back to the place of royalty. That same dominion that Adam lost in Eden, it is now restored in Christ Jesus. The same dominion that he lost in Eden, it is now perfected in Christ. So when you come to Jesus, Peter will put it this way. He says that you are now a royal priesthood. Mr. Thompson, he will say that you are a royal priesthood. You are not now welcomed back into the family. The father embraces. He says, hey, wherever you are, oh sinner, oh wicked person, yes, I'm saying it because that's what the Bible says. Return to the father. Come to you, all you who are weary. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's the gospel of the Lord. Embrace it and you will go far with it.
Intimate moments on radio pulpit. We love to hear this conversation, you know, because faith comes by hearing, I must say, and hearing by the word of the living God. Your night will never be the same. Weekdays, we are here with the servant of the Lord. And I must say, I love things and the teachings of the Bible. I want you to pray, my brother.
Let's pray. Let's pray, listeners at home. And whenever we pray, open your heart and listen to what the Lord says to you. Gracious God, we are praying right now. Me and my brother at home, me and my sister at home, and me and Mr. Thompson, we are praying, oh God. We are saying that, my Father, we are returning back to you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Where we are, my Father, in the state of life, we are not content. We are not satisfied because we know that there is more that is found in you. We pray for my sister wherever she is. We pray for my brother wherever he is, oh God. Where they feel lost, may they return back to you. Those, my Father, they are destined to be soldiers of Christ in your kingdom. We pray that they come back. We pray that they return to you. We pray that they seek your face. We pray that they grow in their calling and in their identity in Christ. We pray all that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray and believe. Amen.
Moruti, the family has loved you. May the Lord bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM. 657 AM, radio for believers in action.